Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the stuff that's gone on in Apple this week. And there's been new MacBook.
Shocked.
And if you were in the increased sales in Q2 for MacBooks, you're really pissed off right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing I do. People that haven't done that, starting us off, top left, it's the Doc. How you doing, brother?
Good. Hanging in there. Almost done my little construction project.
Oh, mate.
Like,
how much have you spent plus, now?
About 30 grand.
Jesus, are they going to give you anything back?
Insurance sucked. I think out of the whole thing, I probably got like 10 grand.
No. That ain't right. Get yourself
absolutely
messed up.
You need a good lawyer, man. A cheap.
I got.
Oh, no, he has a good lawyer. I've met him.
Yeah. So, but it doesn't do me any good to take my own building to court. That just really screws with your resale value. So my, you know, recent increase in resale value because my neighborhood just went through an expansion is higher than anything I get going to court. So it's not worth bothering them.
So is it going to wipe $20,000 off the price of your apartment if you take them to court?
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, first of all, you couldn't do any sales, right? So if something were to come up and say I had to emergency sell my place, I would even lose even more money. But like over, say, the last 3 years, my volume, I mean, my value for my place over the last 3 years since, you know, my old co-working space that I had has probably gone up about 400 grand.
Jesus Christ. That's pretty good.
You don't have to call me by my first name.
Next to him, it's Jeffrey Gamut. What the hell are you doing on a Mac Show?
I have no idea. How did this happen?
Normally you're recording something, aren't you? So you can't come on, but here you are.
Yeah, I move stuff around because I haven't been on for like forever, and I didn't get to do the big show yesterday. So here I am.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you on, and perfect timing as well because there's actually Apple news.
Yeah.
Which is surprising given the time of the year.
Yeah, no. And that dulcet tone was the man who missed a 5:30 a.m. meeting this morning.
Yeah.
Sleeping through.
Yeah.
Patrice, how you doing, pal?
Doing well. Yeah, that 5:30 meeting, I was up at 4:45 and fell asleep again, and then obviously woke up 5:45, so 15 minutes late, and the meeting was already over, so I don't know even what happened at that meeting, but probably wasn't that important.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one knows. No one cares.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
And last but by no means least, the Englishman in France, the guy who's just gone home, and his wife's left him on his own in France. Well, your hair's fine, mate. Stop pissing with it.
I know, look like a bloody cuckoo, mate.
You look like alfalfa, mate, off the Little Rascals.
Yeah, it's a little bit a Stan Laurel look.
Stan Laurel. What's it like to be home?
How brown I look on the screen.
What's it like to be home, mate?
Gone.
Are you glad you're home?
Yes, it's nice to be back. France is great. When I left, there were seedlings in the fields all around us. I've come back, and I kid you not, sunflowers are 7 foot tall all around us. Absolutely beautiful vista. The combine harvesters are cutting down all the wheat. But we're surrounded by these beautiful sunflowers. It's absolutely majestic. It was lovely to get back and see France.
Sharon's got an allotment, and she's got issues at the moment because every time she goes up there to water everything, she comes home with 6 courgettes, zucchini. If you're talking in American. And it's like I am sick and tired of the taste of courgettes.
You need a spiralizer and get some good.
It's like we've got some. I got a good friend coming over that I haven't seen for a couple of years to have a barbecue with us. I was like, "What should we do on the barbecue? Oh, we could do grilled courgettes. Yeah, devil courgettes, grilled courgettes, mushed courgettes, courgettes in garlic, courgettes in wheat courgettes, deep fried courgettes, pan fried courgettes, raw courgette. We could do courgette sandwiches. all we're getting, mate. It's just constant.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
you've done a good job there, mate. Turn that little patch of land round.
4 months, she's gone from black plastic covered weeds to a little garden produce, mate. She's bringing home, literally, I'm not joking, she's bringing home 6 courgettes a night. We've got pumpkins in there for October. Nice. There is tons in there. She's just started off on broccoli as well. That's coming up. Can't else what I saw. Strawberries didn't go so well because the frigging ants ate them. She's got red ants and they ate them. But there's loads and loads of other stuff. It's great. She's got potatoes galore. We've got red onions as well. They look massive. They look incredible. And the thing is as well, they taste amazing. It's not over-farmed land. It's great.
Sounds like we need a farming show, mate.
We do, yeah. This the farm show.
Yeah, oh,
no. Actually, I've got a bit of an announcement to make along those lines, because we had a guy on called Atlee Hunter last night on the big show, a Microsoft developer, and he wants to start a Microsoft show on the network. So he's going to bring a Microsoft show to BTN, which would be really, really cool, because I've been trying to get one of those for years. He's also going to pick up the Pocket Show again as well. So we're going to have the iOS versus Android versus Windows debate now, because of course the Surface Go and the Surface Pro are big in the mobile field. So it becomes all relevant once more. So he's back in. Missed call from Will Green.
Come on, what is it?
Let's try it. I'm calling it.
James, when all the lads were singing "It's Coming Home," I didn't think they were talking about you.
Oh, mate. Well, of course, you know, I'm surrounded by Frenchmen who are very happy and cannot wait for Sunday to come.
Oh, mate.
I'm going to go to a local bar and watch it with all the French, so I'm quite excited about that.
Bro.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Greeny's trying to get in.
See, Skype is just a big bucket of suck anymore.
It was always was. Why are you looking at it through rose-tinted specs?
It's a bigger bucket.
Well, that Trump balloon's a bit of a no-go, isn't it? It only got about 8 foot off the ground. I thought we were going to fly it.
It was massive.
No politics.
I don't know. We're not doing politics now, absolutely. No. So, did you order a brand new 2018 MacBook Pro? Because if you are, you're probably getting it tomorrow.
Yeah, 6.5 grams, can't wait. 2 terabyte SSD.
Oh, man.
No, of course I didn't.
What? 6.5?
Yeah, no, did you do the, so the long and the short of it is, if you get the maxed out spec, 6,699 for 2.9 gigahertz, 32 RAM and 4 terabyte SSD. I wouldn't use a 4 terabyte SSD ever anyway. So.
Yeah.
I mean the money you save there just on that drive alone, you know, I think it's 2.5 grand, yeah, just for the SSD. So you know, you take that and put in some serious storage instead. Or buy that lovely eGPU.
I mean, the thing that bothers me is I spec'd it up and I did the max spec thing and thought, okay, well that's fair enough. But then I did well, let's look at the spec that it would have been. So let's take the basic processor, 1 terabyte drive, and the old max out spec. So it was 16 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte drive, and the basic processor, which is what it currently is. And it's 3,200. So that effectively means that Apple have just added £500 to the basic MacBook Pro.
They did? They didn't do that over here.
No, they didn't.
So, I checked it out yesterday and it was, I mean, I have the 2017 and it was the same price.
No. So
basic MacBook Pro now is essentially what the higher end MacBook Pro was last week.
Yes. My receipt is downstairs. I have the newest MacBook Pro at 2 months old and I expected, as Ewan just said, and if I could find it right now, I could tell you if you guys are right or wrong, but I don't think it was that much because the terms of the lease is you have to spend at least $3,500. I believe that's correct. So I got basically what you had said, but I bought it with the, always buy a processor bump, always. And it has a 1 terabyte SSD. So I think that was it with the processor bump.
Yeah, I mean, I said the 2017 model I have is the base model with a terabyte SSD, and that was $29.99 and is specced out yesterday exactly the same price. This is just adding the terabyte SSD is like, I think, $400, and that's it. So yeah, at least here is the same price.
I mean, the one obviously last generation, which I bought, say, a month ago, it is the Touch Bar Touch ID 2.9512. There's 2.9 16 RAM, a 500 gig hard drive.
And that was
2699, that was in the UK. Now, if you look at the entry-level 15-inch, it's 2699, but it's a 2.6 processor. I know it's the 8th generation.
It is. It's more expensive by some distance, isn't it not?
No. Yeah. No, but that's what he just said. He said it's the same price.
No, it's not. He said it's the 2.6 gig. Processor.
Yeah, but you have to remember that is a hexa-core now. So the gigahertz clock speeds are a little bit lower, but you get two extra cores for it. That's usually how this works.
But, yeah. So
So if I have the 2.9 now, it goes to 2969.
But for a 2.9 gigahertz hexa-core, not a quad-core.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's the difference.
Yeah, and it's the 8th generation, not the 7th generation. And there's more to it than just cores in that processor bump too, though.
Oh yeah.
Well, that shouldn't matter because I mean that happens every time. But the difference between 4 and 6 cores is there, and you can't just look at the clock speed and say, okay, this is the same clock speed, so it must be the same, the same CPU, because in this case the two extra cores make a difference.
Yeah, but the tech has moved on. And the price has gone down of the old chips, and yet there was
But it's not the old chip.
No, I know, but the old chip. Yeah. So if you a week ago, if you'd have bought a maxed out MacBook Pro, it would have cost you $2,700 with a 1 terabyte drive.
No.
Yep.
No.
No.
I did because I packed it up.
I know, but I just bought one, and that's not the answer. I literally just bought one 2 months ago.
Yeah,
as I said, it was $3,600 after I finished doing what I did to it.
As I said, with the base model with 4 terabyte is $2,999.
Jeff, give us a bit more volume, mate, and then carry on what you say.
Sorry about that. Don't know why my volume keeps going down. Okay, so I just spec'd out what would be comparable to my Touch Bar MacBook Pro, and it costs less now.
Oh, right.
And if I bump it up to 32 gigs of RAM... It's so it would be the 2.6 gigahertz processor, 16 gigs of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD, $3,199. That is $300 less than I paid for my computer.
And that's what I said at the very beginning of this conversation, because that's exactly what I did two months ago.
All right, man.
And it's sitting downstairs in the office on the table.
I'm only going on what I saw this morning when I did a quick spec up of it. It felt a bit more expensive.
Well,
yeah, as I said, the only thing you have
specs,
to
what I meant a lot more expensive quickly.
Go on, Patrice.
Oh, as I said, the only thing you have to be careful with is the CPU, because a 2.6 gigahertz now is not the same as a 2.6 gigahertz yesterday, basically, or the day before, because of the difference between a quad core and a hexa core.
Right.
Now, Ewan, if I do with the current MacBook Pro what I did with mine, which was max out what I could, then the price goes crazy higher than what I paid for mine, like more than double.
Because basically what they did was they added near parity to an iMac with the portable. And that's where the prices get out of hand because, if I bump my processor and my RAM, that puts me back at the $35.99 where I just spent $34.99. So that seems more expensive, but the way that the old setup was going, you were adding 8. So what happens is we don't have a way to add 8. We have to add 16. So the RAM gets out of hand real quick. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you're going from basically 8 to 16 when you're doubling the RAM. But we're going from 16 to 32. So the RAM jump is exponentially higher. And that's probably the jump that's the most, you know, crazy. And then the other insanity is the insanity of putting a 4 terabyte storage directly in a notebook, where basically for $2,800 on a Thunderbolt 3 connection, I could put a Synology DS1618 brand new machine with all 6 drives in it and come up with $400 to buy a sack of weed.
Yeah,
and that's including 4 10 terabyte Iron Wolves. So and it's a 6-bay drive. So actually, if you filled it up with the 6 10 terabyte Iron Wolves, it comes out to roughly $2,200. So I got $200 to buy a sack of weed instead. So yeah, like Jeff said a while back, the insanity of putting a 4 terabyte SSD in would just be out there. But I'm sure there's probably some use cases from production people on the road who don't necessarily want to carry around a small fan or, you know, things like that, where for them it might be worth it. Or just, you know, insta-rich kids. Like, you know, recently, you know, Apple has been making products that has a tier that, you know, fits, I'm rich, I don't care, I mean, just do it.
Mm-hmm. True. One thing I wanted to mention is also, couple of years back when they introduced the current design, they actually bumped the price. So it's definitely more expensive now than it was even a couple of years ago. We shouldn't forget that.
It's starting to get, you know, it was ridiculous. I remember just before I left Apple, I bought the late 2016 model, which, as you all know, I had plenty of trouble with that one. And it was so much money, even with my Apple discount, which I think was 27%. It was still such a huge amount of money to spend on a computer. And with this new one, they're obviously not stopping the trend. It's continuing to be that sort of price. So even if you work at Apple and you want to own this product, especially this fantastic 15-inch model, it's a lot to ask. It really is. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, Windows is following the trend as well. You know, they're bringing out just as expensive computers. So, you know, I guess if you can make money from them, then you'll buy them. But if you're just a casual person who wants to get into Mac, you know, where do you go? What do you buy?
Mm-hmm.
I think the I've got a 1 terabyte Mac Pro here, and I've got 500 gig free. I've got everything on it I need to use, and I've still got 500 gig free to sit and do extra stuff. So I don't need anything more than 1 terabyte on a mobile machine for certain. But the one thing that they have done, which we've all been bleating and moaning on, look, you know, why am I capped at 16 gig of RAM? I want 32 gig of RAM. We've all bleated about it. We've all heard other people bleating about it, and they've given it us, and we're kind of like, oh, you bastards, you really screwed us on that.
Yeah, there's just no pleasing us.
No.
Such a bunch of whiny old men.
Well, that goes without saying. That's not even a debate. But you're talking, the thing that gets me, and this is where Doc's point is exactly right, you're talking £360 to go up. Yes, you're getting double the RAM because you're not going to go to 24 or anything like that, are you? So you've got to go up to 32, but that's still a lot to add. And the terabytes, you know, I admit it's a custom storage unit, but a 2 terabyte SSD at 720... that's not horrifically expensive. It is a bit on the high side, but if you go online and you try and get the 2 terabyte hard drive from Crucial, you're still paying £600 for that. So it's not.
Yeah, and remember,
keep
it's
in mind you're getting
it's not an SSD. It's SATA. Actually, oh sorry, sorry, Jeff.
An MSSD, a PCI SSD.
Yeah,
which is faster by a long shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you really M2. Check out the specs on Apple SSDs, the built-in SSDs versus an SSD you can buy, is that even fair to price them the same? Because they're not in the same boat. My internal SSD downstairs cranked out at, I think, like 1,600 something on the Blackmagic speed test, and you can't buy an off the shelf SSD that does that without a RAID.
Yes, you can if you buy the M2 PCI Express SSDs, which I mean you can now buy for like standard PCs and so on.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is like going to what James says, and I know this is really really far back, but if I could have bought an Apple II for, say, under $8,000 back in the day, specced out as something that I could possibly use, I would have been over the moon. I mean, that was what we paid. You know, it averaged 8 to 10, and we took a lot of crap for it for years because we had to spend so much. Now, they did amazing things back then, but, you know, it is what it is. So it is expensive, but then again, it's not. And I guess it really depends on like what you're doing with your machine. We're getting to the point where if you are a casual user, you could, for the most part, get by with an iPad or an iPhone, you know, but if you are trying to do something on a professional scale, then you're making the money for it anyway. So what difference does it make? Like it's starting to get to that. And, you know, I've always said that because, you know, I personally don't consider me paying for my machines. I consider my customers paying for my machines. That's part of my standard business expense. Same as if I had to pay malpractice insurance or, you know, same as when we have to pay for our estate agent's licensure, which is just, you know, like $5,000 a year for a piece of paper that says I'm not dumb. Super irritating, but it is what it is. That's a business expense.
Yeah, great.
So the other thing that we've got to look at is, of course, the upgraded and fantastic Generation 3 keyboard. which even Doc is going to have a hard time here being a fanboy, because we know that all they've done is redesigned the bag of crap that was there before.
Well, it's supposed to be quiet.
It's quieter.
Again, I didn't really think that was easy.
What?
You know, I've gone from 2016 to 2017. And the issue with the actual particular clap of the keyboard has never been one that's irritating me. So
they had to do something to...
It's already quiet.
There's nothing wrong with it. Even the fanboy's about to rail. Go on, Doc.
No, it's already quiet. It's just, at some point, like, we all have this brother-in-law, and if you don't have this brother-in-law, it's you. But he can just be like, oh, I stepped on my dick, you know, let me fix it, you know? It's got to be like, oh, well, there was, you know, this and that in the code, a different thing, or, you know, they just changed the position. So instead of saying, hey, we kind of screwed the pooch, or even mildly saying we screwed the pooch, they just come up and be like, oh, we reinvented the keyboard. We made it sleeker, added more aluminum and especially unicorn parts. It's like, bitch, no, you didn't. You stepped on your whatever, and now you got to fix it. You fixed it. Cool. Like, we're cool with you making mistakes, but just don't be such a bitch about it.
That's the hardest bitch slap that Apple's ever got from Doc. No question. Well done, Doc.
No, it's not. Well, not even close.
Welcome to the world of the mystified and cynical.
You know,
I used to like the old keyboard, I have to say. I love typing on it, but it's not to be.
I've already had my Touch Bar MacBook Pro keyboard replaced once, and the only reason it hasn't been replaced a second time is because I haven't had time to take my computer in to the Genius Bar and be without it for a couple days.
Yeah.
You should do that now.
I should just go do it.
Do it now, and then you get a brand new machine. 28.
Maybe you get a new one.
James, you came back too early. Awesome? James, you came back too early. You should be back in the store this morning.
I did actually speak to AppleCare last night because Mac Rumors put out a thing saying if you got your Mac within the past month, you may be able to take it back, which is true in retail. I think we used to honor it, I think, 3 weeks in retail. So we bought a new machine and we used to say, yeah, we happily take that back off you. So I spoke to AppleCare last night in the chat room and they're like, sorry, mate, no, 40 days, no. You've got to keep that.
It's not 40 days, surely.
Well, I've just got to try and break this one. It's fine. I'll break it. I will. Fine. I'm about to do a dual boot with Windows again, so I'm not expecting great things.
You're going to sit there, it's going to be rock solid, and you're going to
get blast
for the next 5 years.
Absolute blast.
Well, do you know what? I'm really not bothered. It really does do. It's so nice to have a new machine again. It's, as I said, it's only a month old. I'm loving that new box feeling, and it breaks. I hope it's. I'm only tiny bit jealous over the T2 chip.
So you've actually started using it then? It's not still sealed in the box?
No, yeah, I've used it, yeah. Yeah, it's been out and...
What, and you still wanted $2,500 for it? You cheeky bastard.
No, 2,000 quid, I said you could have it off me. That's
you didn't. There was definitely an extra few figures on top of that.
$699 off me. Come on. You're such a git bag, aren't you?
I told you, $1,500, mate. You only paid $17 for the original one.
Oh, my God, that's it. We used to be friends, I can't believe
you
it.
You only paid $1,700 for the original one, I know.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did, you told me.
$699 minus 24%, that's Apple discount, there you go.
So it's a quarter, know. 3/4 of the price, which works out, oh, let me guess, $1,799. Yeah.
$699 minus 24% is not, it's not that. Anyway, moving on.
And it's used. $1,500, mate. Fair deal. Fair deal. Yes. Fair, totally fair. We'll talk. No, I've got a feeling we won't.
No, we won't. Ever.
That's the only Apple news of the week. Nothing. Apart from all the people, because Apple shipments increased in Q2 on MacBook Pros. Yes. Look at all those pissed off people on that graph. 3% growth rate over year on year. 4,395,000 units pushed out. And they're all going, bastard, bastard, like James.
I would say that those of us who are like us are probably a little peed off. But I think just based off of my customer interaction, I think a large portion of the people, if I ask them, oh, what processor and memory do you have your machine right now? They'd be like, what? And turn it on, it works, I send emails, they don't know. Like, way too many people don't know. And it's irritating to me because I would call and ask sometimes because I need to know the answer to, you know, get an accessory or, you know, check compared to something else or whatever. And they have no freaking clue. They barely even know their password, you know, to get in the system. So most people don't know. They bought it, they use it, they move on. But there are those of us who would probably have an account. And I would say even of the people watching the cast right now, probably 50-60% of it know all of them specs of their machine. The other don't. They just watch us because we're dumb.
Oh, to be honest, I couldn't tell you which processor I have in my current MacBook. I simply don't care. It works.
Patrice,
I can tell you the storage I have, but I can't tell you the CPU.
You're a guru, and you've gone down to an also ran.
Yeah.
Well, for coding, maybe you care more about the storage than the speed. You know, like the video editor and photographer guys are the ones that sweat this the most. And I guess because we fit in two out of the three categories, then, yeah, it's something that I've always followed since, you know, first camera, first machine. But at the end of the day, like, I'm talking to you right now on the old girl. She's a 2012 2.9 with, you know, 8 gigs of RAM and an SSD, and she works. Like, the old kid is a little faulty, but this is what I've been using to talk to you guys for damn near 6 years. So, you know, like at the end of the day, as much as I probably should get rid of this machine, I can't because it works and it behaves. Bar the sticky Oki. Why are you laughing, James?
We're in a reverse auction in the chat room. James's MacBook Pro is down to $1,250 now at the moment with Magic Man.
I think Jen, we're in a good place if we don't know what's in our computers these days, because it means we're happy with them. I think what Doc's right in what he's saying is, and if you're someone like me who do lots of 3D graphics and stuff, we are chasing those megahertz quite a lot and looking at those obviously Geekbench things. But generally, I think, obviously the iPad helped this, and also the iPhone as well. You know, not knowing what processors in those and those work really well. I think that's a great state to be in with technology. It really is.
Definitely.
James, you know where we're at right now? Geekbench would be the four of us sitting in London Station in the tube waiting for a train.
Yeah.
That's what most people would think Geekbench is.
It would be accurate.
Yeah. It would also be very awesome.
So are you buying one of these then, or are you just going to sit and go, oh, actually, my 2014 is doing just fine, thank you very much?
James?
No, mine's late 2017.
Yeah, yours is different. You're exempt from that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is brand spanking new. My iMac lease is up next month, and I'm going to get another iMac. I did put in to get an iMac Pro, and then the other half of the business partner, tiny little pissed ass, looked at me and was like, you're out of your damn mind. Especially after what we just did on the condo.
So mine is mid 2014, 15 inch Retina, 2.8 gigahertz, 16 gig Iris 1536 graphic card, and I gotta say, it flies. I can do Final Cut on it without a problem, so that's the heaviest load. I can't do 4K on it; it does stumble then. But but I mean, Mac Pro's fine with that; it does it anyway. So.
Will we see any improvements with Mojave when that comes on, Patrice? Is there anything that's going to make older Macs bump up on the iOS 12?
I've heard yes. I mean, that was the whole focus of Mojave and also of iOS 12 to increased performance. And I haven't tested it myself, but I've heard that it definitely improved performance.
James, I can tell you that's a guarantee.
Go on, Jeff.
I have developer beta 3 on a external SSD, and nice. So when I'm not like working, writing or recording, I'm booting my Touch Bar MacBook Pro off the SSD, and across the board, my computer is faster.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting. Yeah. On an external,
and that's on a developer beta. Now, audio stuff is really messed up right now, which is why I can't be booted in that and do shows. But yeah, it's
well, I'm doing it right now.
Processor upgrade.
Good.
I'm literally talking to you right now on a mid 2012, which I just told you, 2016, running basically the beta, and it's flopped. Like it works, so it definitely is a lot faster. If it can make this old girl move quicker, I think your machine would be excellent with it. Because I was hesitant at first, but I was like, it's an old machine. I need a reason to break it, so I have a reason to buy another machine. So I just flew the beta at it, and it performs better on this beta than it's performed in its whole lifespan since 2012.
It's the thing is with the. With video and bouncing video or rendering video, it's kind of your one-to-one yardstick, because you can't make that any slicker or any faster, because it's just hammering the processor and doing the same job it would do regardless of the software that's controlling it. The thing that the OS improves is all the background swap file stuff and all the shit that goes on behind the scenes that they cut down on. So I think it'll get better as a machine, most definitely. Interesting what kind of connectivity and, the consistency of what devices are going to be obsoleted as well. I mean, we're running a pre-Sonus mini card here, and there's every opportunity that may actually end up falling over if we go up to Mojave, which I won't know until I do it, which is a hard point. I can't roll back. They're just completely redoing everything.
The question is, why is it that the audio drivers are always bad? And this has been going on since we were in, like, 9, way back in 7.5. Actually, I can take it back as far as 6 when Pro Tools first came out. Audio drivers always been lagging. And it's like, how is the industry, after all these years, can't get any better at making stuff work on day one? And if not hard, I mean, Core Audio does the majority of the work nowadays anyway.
I got a Tascam USB desk up in the loft, and that I had that in 2009, and in 2011 it was obsoleted because they wouldn't produce the drivers for it for Mac, and it was just like, I can't. Because the thing was, it was that Snow Leopard change where it didn't do a great deal different. It just went from Leopard to Snow Leopard, and it was just like, hang on, you know what's changed here? Particularly nothing in the OS. But you're obsoleting the drivers and walking away from a desk, and I've only had it for a year. I was seriously pissed off at that. That was really bad. That's when I went and I bought the pre-service.
Wasn't that the change from 32 channels to 96 channels, and some that time frame, and because that was when like the Yamaha O2 and a couple of these other guys were coming out with the FireWire link. You know, because FireWire links allowed you to use 96 channels instead of the standard 32 channels you get from USB. But still, that was a dumb reason for it to happen. But it's like, I can never get around that. Why? Like, every single time.
Yeah,
it's the audio guys. And for no reason. There's no apparent reason for it whatsoever.
It pissed me off immensely.
It's like you're always surprised an update came out.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah. It's not like that they don't prance around on the stage with a bunch of, you know, lemurs like Patrice running around the desert for a week to tell them that this is coming. Well, actually, not the desert anymore. It's in the Bay Area, but still. You got a bunch of hipsters in tight jeans walking around for a week, and then September rolls around, it's like, oh yeah, the driver will be out next April when NAMM runs.
No, it's they've got a lot to answer for, the audio market, most definitely. Sonos, I think this is quite a significant story. Sonos adds AirPlay 2 support to its latest speakers, enabling Siri control and multi-room audio. I think that's a real hammer blow to the HomePod sales.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I mean, if people have got Sonos version 2, Play 1s, then what do they call the Play 1 version 2? Just Sonos One.
Just Sonos One, yeah.
Yeah, if they've got Sonos Ones, then they're not going to think about upgrading. They're not going to walk away from that because it gives them everything that they get if they get the HomePod, other than you can ask it questions, which it gets wrong nearly all the time anyway.
Well, if you have Sonos already, I don't see any reason to buy a HomePod.
No.
If you're new to the market and you don't have either, okay, now you can figure out which one you really want.
Yeah.
And with AirPlay 2, Sonos now has more options, making it even more enticing for a lot of people.
I think it's huge. I think it's stopping people swapping over for definite.
Here's what I noticed, and it's really small, but it's just a snapshot. And a lot of it, you know, Patrice, you got to see some of it when you first moved here. So my neighborhood is going through a little bit of increase in, you know, population. And one of the things is there's a small little shopping center type thing, which has a bunch of little tiny boutiques. And right now they're 50-50. There's either a new coffee shop opens and the one on the end, they got the Sonos One. They're right next door to a little barbecue shop open, the barbecue shop through, and the HomePod. And then on the other side of that, there's the girly, you know, like frilly summer pants sundress shop, and they got the HomePod, and the one right next to they got the HomePod, but then the surf shop got the Sonos. And then so I think Jeff is on to the point where if you're in the market and you're about to buy something brand new, and there's still a very huge market. So Apple could be in third place in this market and still make a metric F ton of cash on it, because there is still so many people jumping out. The other thing which I just realized, I just picked up a brand new Sony 65-inch X690E, which is a large mouthful for an incredible TV, which should sound great. It sounds like ass. It's the first Sony TV I've ever bought that sounds like ass. When I went to go ask my buddy, who is the CEO of Sony Hawaii here, my friend Topher's boss, how come this brand new, you know, $1,700 TV sounds like a farting in the bucket? And he goes, because none of the manufacturers care about TV speakers in the market. everybody was buying a soundbar.
Yeah.
So when you look at the new Sonos that just come out on the 17th, which is what, Wednesday? Next Wednesday, there's a new Sonos coming out.
Yeah.
God, what's that thing called, Jeff? You guys wrote about it.
Playbar thing.
The Playbar?
Yeah.
Is that what they're calling it?
No, it's not the Playbar. It's a new one.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's the
bubble.
It's the 399 Playbar.
Beam. It's called the Beam.
It's a Beam. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the Beam.
Yep. So, yeah, I think that for right now, the HomePod style stuff may suffer a little bit, you know, during the holidays if we don't get a soundbar in the HomePod shape soon. So for right now, the ball is in Sonos's court because you'll buy the Beam for your TV and then you'd be like, hey, well, I want to add a speaker to the barbecue. So then you'll go add a Play One and you add some other stuff and then you'll get the advantage of the multi-room music. But Beam is dope because it's AirPlay 2 compatible. It does Alexa voice control. Like, it, you know, from all accounts, it sounds amazing. But, you know, it comes out next week. So I'm looking, I need a sound bar. And I was like, well, maybe for the room, it'd be cool to just pair the HomePod with it so I can have a HomePod. But I don't have either right now. But the shape of the Beam is more conducive to a television. So I might end up getting that because they're roughly the same price, $399, $349, right?
I'm using one of my HomePods as a kind of a sound bar in my bedroom TV, connected to my bedroom TV. There are some issues with that. So,
well, I was going to say, the thing is, the HomePod is not a general release TV adaption, is it? No. It will work with your Apple TV, but then outside of that, so if you've got a Skybox, it's sort of valueless to you, whereas if you buy a soundbar, you've probably got a light connection or an ARC connection, HDMI ARC,
which
is significantly superior for functionality.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you're like me and you're only ever using your Apple TV, then that might be fine, but you're absolutely right. If you're doing anything else, if you have any other use cases, then that will not work.
Yeah.
So in a way, that leads to the arrogance of Apple, assuming that you're just Apple TV and HomePod as your way of watching movies. Because in the HomePod commercial, they do talk about watching movies, right?
Yeah.
You know, like on the site. So that's leading to their arrogance. Or they have things in the pipeline where they know that they're going to start to move in that direction. I think we're way past Ming Chi Kuo's actual TV at this point. But no, that wasn't him. It was Munster.
Carl Swagger's still saying it's coming. Carl Swagger's saying it's coming, mate. He's been saying it's coming for the last 7 years.
But I definitely think that maybe right around Christmas or right around the middle of next year, we can look forward to seeing the Apple TV version of a HomePod that might look more like a soundbar. And that might have that ARC connectivity so that you can use your cable box or, you know, your PlayStation, Xbox, whatever to add to it. I think they have to. They're getting the production now, you know? There's so much new Apple productions coming out.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? We're going to be getting, we'll get to a certain point. We're sitting here doing one of these shows and there'll be an Apple TV released. And Carl Swagger is going to say, I called it. 25 years ago, I said this was coming.
A man before his time.
Oh, yes. Definitely going to happen.
So,
didn't believe me. Oh, am I interrupting someone? Sorry.
So I was interested to see what is Jeff. Have you got a HomePod or are you a Sonos guy?
I have a HomePod.
Okay. How are you getting on with that?
I really like it. It's my primary music playing device now, and I only bought one. I bought one not knowing if I would like it, and then after I got it, turns out I really like it. And I just haven't bought a second because the one is doing such a good job filling my place with sound that I just really don't see the need to put a second one in here. I did have... well, it's primarily a music device for me. I do use it with Siri, some, but I had a really bad HomeKit disaster several months ago where I had to just completely wipe my entire HomeKit setup. Mm-hmm. And at that point, since I'd already set up everything on my Echo so I can talk to the A-Lady as well, I just kind of shifted most of my smart home stuff over to that.
I had a really bad HomePod event. Sounds like the Elgato thermometer that you've got was trying to take the dog's temperature up its ass or something like that.
what happened was HomeKit got in this loop where it thought it was syncing between iCloud and all of my devices. And that's it. Once that starts, the only thing you can do is completely wipe and reset all of HomeKit. Okay. There's no backup. There's no restore. There's no recovery. You just start from scratch.
Yeah.
That's bad.
So, yeah. So I've slowly added stuff back in to HomeKit because I do have some devices that are just HomeKit. Mm-hmm. But my HomePod is a kick-ass music system, and my Echo sits in the living room as well, and I talk to that to turn the lights on.
Mm. Now, the other thing...
I've had some issue, or there are some limitations with the HomePod and HomeKit. I'm guessing it kind of makes sense. I can't unlock my front door with the HomePod. So I think that's probably true. A good thing because then nobody can shout, but I wish the HomePod would just detect that it's me and then just let me do
Patrice,
it.
Patrice, have you not been to work for a month?
No.
Are you
why?
Stuck in there? You should have said, man, we'd have got people round.
No.
It's fine.
No.
I would have driven down and gotten your door open for you. Yeah, it'd take me a few hours, but I could get there.
He's obviously got food and water coming in, so
yeah, I got it.
I haven't heard the dog lately, though. The dog's probably been devoured.
I'm sure it's a future show at some point.
Yeah, no, the one is
I'm
actually the,
in
the,
my house.
The dog's still alive, and we're actually going live on one of the shows. We're going to watch it eat Patrice out of sheer frustration, the fact that it's so hungry. you know as well as I do, James, you're going to come back here for a show one day, you're going to listen to your Sonos 5 playing, and a little tear is going to roll down your cheek because you know that you should have spent the money on a second Sonos 5.
Well, as we've already said, the Sonos 5 is a huge speaker. And just before we went on air, I did say to Ewan that I've installed these two HomePods in the front room of my house and flats, and my wife hasn't even noticed yet.
Really?
Yes, if I brought two Sonos Play 5s home.
So the you, no, I've
she's
had these
She's probably
ages.
Rolling her eyes every time she sees it, but she doesn't say
anything. Oh, mate, no, she'd have said something. So you really have the no, I've had these ages line. Is going to work.
No, it's not.
Oh, right.
I just can't be bothered to make a story.
You didn't grass yourself up.
No. No, I seriously, they're on two cupboards. And she walks into the front room on the right, and the other one is on the other end of the room. So they're stereo paired. And I've sat there and I've played music through them. I've been talking to her. And my wife sat there on my laptop, completely oblivious to that they're new. Whether, she, as you said, you know, I've been married 26 years now, mate. Maybe that's she's just given up questioning anything I do.
She totally knows. She's just mate. Ignoring you.
After 26 years, she's worked out you're uncontrollable.
Just a white box, Ewan,
if I ever replace my, well, when I ever get around to replacing my soundbar, I have a nice JBL soundbar on my television right now.
Junk but loud, yeah.
I won't go with Sonos, but I just dropped a link in the towers for the Pulp soundbar that I would totally go for. I got to check it out at CES, and it is just so
Pulp
nice.
Pulp Audio. In
and
relation
it's,
to President
it's A-Lady compatible.
Oh.
I thought he said pull this soundbar.
Oh, page not found.
Yeah, me too.
Really? How funny. I'm looking at it right now.
I've got page not found.
Just click on the logo at the top. It'll take you there.
Soundbar.
All right, it's the Polk command bar.
Yeah.
Now available.
Maybe they're blocking it outside of the United States, which would be...
I've got the French version, but I guess I can see that.
Explore command bar. No, we've got it now.
Explore signal.
Amazon Echo enabled. Here we go. There it is. That looks pretty good. That's quite slim as well.
It sounds really nice too.
What's the connections like? Because that's one of the things that I didn't do when I bought my soundbar, was I didn't check the connections out, and I got lucky that it was optical, because it said on the...
Yeah, it has optical.
Yeah, has it got ARC as well?
I believe so.
Now, ARC, this is the thing, right? I go to my manual for my TV, and it tells me I've got an ARC HDMI port, but I can't find it. I've been through all the HDMI ports, and it doesn't tell me. It says there is an ARC HDMI port, but they're all just listed as HDMI 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's it.
Isn't that number one?
I've tried plugging all four of those into the HDMI ARC on my soundbar, and none of them work. So I don't know.
Well, normally it's number one, and I would say if you go to the software of your TV, it might be something you may have to switch over as well to let it command it.
Yeah, it does. So well, I can find it in the software, and I can switch ARC on, but none of them work. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, normally what happens, too, is your TV is accepting the ARC signal. The ARC signal is coming out of the device because the Sony HTC-800 that we just bought for the in-laws, the ARC is coming out of the soundbar. That goes into the TV. You can pick any port for that matter, and it controls the TV now. So it became the new thing. But in a TV, you did have to tell it to accept the ARC signal.
Right.
And that's a brand new TV, but I'm sure, like James is saying, it's probably buried in your TV menu somewhere. And the manuals nowadays are horrible. I would check Reddit. That's the good extra manual source. Just don't get sidetracked in the weird channels. But there's some good helpful cats the out weird there.
Very good advice, mate.
No, I'm serious. You might find it's a buried menu, or the trickier ones I've seen where you have to press a couple things on this remote. You press like three things and then an extra menu pops up and then you can get in there and do stuff. I don't know why they do that, but that's very common nowadays.
Yeah. High definition multimedia interface audio room return channel. That's James Rickards. Thanks, mate, for that cut and paste from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I'm the Alan Partridge
quotes. The Alan Partridge, well done. This podcast and all the others. Go on.
No, I was going to ask Jeff, why does the command bar need to have a Fire Stick plugged into it?
Oh, no, it can have a Fire Stick plugged into it. It doesn't need it.
All right.
Oh, okay.
You plug a Fire Stick in, it takes total control over the Fire Stick. So you do voice control for it.
Okay, that's all. We can quit now.
Just posted on The Verge, says Ruata, there is a thing on the Polk. That's interesting. And YouTube link in the chat room. If you want to know any of the links for any of the cool things that we do or the stories we do on Big or anything like that, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the correct day. Today is the 13th of July, and click on it and you can do all of the stuff that you normally do. It's got all the links in there. Just be careful when you click and make it. Sometimes people in the chat room do write something that's designed to get us to laugh. This podcast.
Never click on any links
from Muller.
Muller has posted. Yeah.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK. Oh no, it's not. I need to edit. This podcast and all the others. Oh shit! This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Hosts. Yes. Woo. We have got incredibly lucky. TSO Hosts heard of our plight and knew we were losing our servers, and they came to us and dived in and said, no, we want to do it. So they've given us two behemoths of servers that are just ridiculously great for us. And that's going to run the live channel. It's going to do all the stuff that we normally do. And, we would be lost without them. And literally... We really would. At the end of this month, we'd have ended up with absolutely nothing working, no broadcast channels available, no servers, no bandwidth, no nothing. So TSO Hosts, thank you so much. Sarah there is going to sort out offer codes and that kind of thing. So you're going to get 30% off domains. And we're going to look at some nice opportunities for you to transfer in your services as well, as so that you can start using TSO Hosts. Really, really great firm. good quality as well. It was interesting, actually, that I put down that we were going with them, and Jordan, who's in our Slack room, immediately came back and said, oh, I've had stuff with them. They are absolutely brilliant. The customer service is second to none. So that's really cool to know. And also, as I've said it to everyone else, now we've got a new sponsor. You've got to really want to keep these people, otherwise we disappear. And all I'm asking you to do is go on Twitter and say thanks to TSO Hosts for hosting at British Tech. Do it in Instagram. Do it in all of your platforms. Make sure you engage with the sponsors. Otherwise, we'll lose them as well. And if we lose them, then we're really screwed because I don't know anyone else that's going to dive in. So please, please, please make sure you appreciate the people that help keep us going. And one of the other people that you should appreciate as well is Telestream, because without them, we wouldn't have a copy of Wirecast, which is a $1,000 piece of software that allows me to do all the switching and the green screen and the guys behind me here. It's got a program called Desktop Presenter that you get with it that allows the Mac Minis to broadcast their channels over. There's tons of stuff in there that's great for using pan, tilt, zoom cameras and all those kind of things. It is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant piece of software. If you've got a live sports event that you want to transmit and push out onto the net, it does that. It'll push out to YouTube, Facebook. I'm sure the new Instagram video is going to be covered as well soon with it. There's tons of stuff that you can do with Wirecast. It's a fantastic piece of software. And even if you don't need a £1,000 piece of software to do video switching, it doesn't matter. You can support Telestream by looking at ScreenFlow, which is one of their great pieces of software that helps you with image capture off your screens. Again, please tweet out at Telestream, thank you for supporting at British Tech. And you must do this for us, please, because otherwise we will lose sponsors. If we lose sponsors, we fold. Simple as that. And yes, your eyes do not deceive you. Hoya have sent me my Unikus. I am wearing them. These are the ones that are for the shows, and I've got some black ones here, which are for general day-to-day use. They are absolutely comfortable as hell. As soon as I unboxed them and put them on, it was like, these were made for me, and they are made for me. These ones are custom made for the BT shows. They've got BT written on the inside, and these ones are custom made for me to wear, and they've got ER on the inside. How cool's that? These are laser sintered, so they put the lenses in perfect space for your vision, and then they tell the machine to make the frames to fit where that position can be held. It's absolutely unreal. They're not cheap. They're good glasses. They're incredibly good glasses, but they're not cheap. You need to find a Hoya stockist near you who has got a Unika machine. If you get in touch with podcast@hoya.co.uk and say, where have you got someone, then they can send you a link. And all you've got to do is turn up and get your face measured. There is no charge for getting your face measured and selecting your glasses and trying a few styles. There are hundreds to choose from. Go and get yourself scanned. Just do it as a bit of fun. Take the kids down one day and get their faces scanned and that kind of stuff. Make sure that these people understand that, you know, their investment in Hoya Unika is actually worth having. And do the old trick again, you know, walk in. Excuse me, do you do Hoya? Yes, we do. Ah, right, do you do Unika? No, we don't. Oh, that's a shame. And walk out, because that'll get people interested in getting the machines for Hoya as well as. Again, thanks to Hoya, because they've bought one of the machines that goes on the Skype wall and keeps us flying as well. So they're great. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
Okay, so this was going to be for the continuation of World Cup, but not really World Cup. This is known as the Play Impossible Game Ball. This is hands down the coolest thing I've seen, you know, in a long time. So I had to take my computer in to get some work done. And while they were, you know, going in the back to fish out machine, I was playing with this stupid thing. And so basically it's a smart enabled ball that has some NFC chips and then some bunch of sensors or whatever. But you basically connect it to your phone and there's tons of games that you can play with it. There's party-oriented games where you're doing like the hot potato thing. There's a thing that's called like showdown where you try to see who can throw it the highest or kick it with the least amount of jostling force. You know, like it has all kind of just weird built-in games. One of my favorite ones is like it's a water balloon toss type thing. So it sets a threshold for how far it's traveled to how lightly you can catch it. If you catch it harder than that, you get a virtual water balloon break. which is something that we just did like a week ago at our family picnic. And I was able to, being the mother-in-law with the water balloon on accident kind of thing. So it's a really, really cool setup, but it's this connected ball that has some incredible games. And the tech is more interesting than the ball, but you'll start having so much fun with it. You and the kids will get a little exercise in, you know, playing hot potato or, you know, trying to do, you know, really unique sports tests and things with it. But it's $100. You buy it at the Apple Store. And it's, when I first looked at it, I'm like, this is really dumb. And then you play with it for about 10 seconds and you're $100 lighter in the pocket.
$100, that doesn't seem too bad on price.
No, not for what you can do with it. You and your kids will have a blast with it. You know, it'd be a good way to, like, you know, just get the kids in the, you know, back to playing ball a little bit, you know, doing that manual dexterity, hand-eye coordination type thing. And yet having a shed load of fun. I had to think of a safe edit word.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Jeff, what do you have for us, man?
I have an iPad app, Affinity Designer. So this is a pro-level vector design app that's been available on the Mac for a while, and they just released a day or two ago an iPad version. So what they did was they wrote it for the iPad specifically so that they could get this thing so it has the right kind of interface for touch. And holy crap, this is just a fantastic vector design app. And it's just one more thing on my iPad that's bringing me closer to the day where that can actually be my primary computer.
Mm-hmm. I bought both Affinity Designer and Affinity Photo yesterday.
Right.
Great apps.
Designer looks great. $13.99 it says here for dollars.
So it's discounted right now for the launch. It's 30% off. So at some point, the price is going to go up. So get it now.
A wise man once said about 40 minutes ago that people will be able to use their iPads as their only computer.
There is do you find it's okay with your pencil, Jeff? Because there is one of the complaints here that says that it's struggling with pencil connection sometimes.
You know, that's I'm personal. Not having any Apple Pencil trouble with it. Maybe because I'm not as hardcore in vector apps as other people. I don't know. But so far, it's been working fine for me.
Bob's reinforcing in the chat room. He says, I've got it on the Mac and it's great. We'll definitely look at it in the iPad version.
Yeah, and they said that the engine that they're using behind the hour within the app, that's the same engine that they have on the Mac.
Right. Okay, that's good. There is a full version of Photoshop coming for the Mac as well, and Adobe have announced that.
Yeah.
Which is Vector, so that'll be really quite keen as well. Be interested in pair those two off. Good mm-hmm. pick, mate. Really like that. It shouldn't be too bad. Tenner, I'll burn a tenner for that. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
So my cool thing is something we actually started talking about earlier, which is my door lock. So I bought a August smart lock the other day because, I mean, I had back in Germany, I had I think it was a Kickstarter project, the smart lock. But I obviously couldn't take that with me because, well, the system here is different. Here we have deadbolts. So I was looking for something that's HomeKit compatible, doesn't look too ugly, and actually works great. And August was the one, the August Smart Lock Pro was the one that was recommended. Got it the other day, installed it. Installation was very simple. It's basically you remove the plate on the inside that holds your deadbolt in place. You put a new one in, attach the device itself, and that's it. And then you use the app to calibrate it. The cool thing was my deadbolt wasn't on the list of supported deadbolts. So there was a line in there that said, if yours is not on the list, just take a couple of pictures and send them to us and we'll check whether it's still compatible. And mine was. And they actually gave me a 20% off discount for sending them a couple of pictures in an email. So that was awesome. Really great customer service. And the lock itself, it looks good. It works really well. The app is reasonably well designed. I mean, some minor gripes with it. So definitely recommend it. And I think it's $279 if it's a full price.
If you haven't got a deadbolt, you have to buy a deadbolt. What you say?
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah. It only operates with your deadbolt.
Yeah, it's a deadbolt system, so it's probably no use in like Germany and I don't know the UK, but definitely in the US, most doors here have deadbolts, so that's the thing to get here.
Yeah, yeah, excellent, mate.
And it comes with, I mean, it supports Alexa, it supports HomeKit, it supports also Siri, obviously. It does basically everything you wanna have. I bought the bundle with the lock and a little bridge, basically. It's called the Smart Lock Connect, I think, which just basically allows you to remote access everything and yeah, give access to other people and all of that nice stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah, good pick, mate. Like that. James, what do you have for us?
Yes, mine's cheaper, cheerful. It's this beautiful USB plug. What's great about it is when I moved backwards and forwards from France to England, I'm always having to chuck all the different plugs into my bags. It's a pain in the backside, to be fair. But what's good about this is it just got interchangeable heads. So when you buy it, it's £7.98 off Amazon. What a bargain. This is now my second one. My second one arrived today because I found the last one so useful and my wife wants one. And the idea is just obviously take the top thing and just clip it in and boom, now it's a French plug. But it's obviously a 40-watt, 8-amp plug as well, which means it's going to fast charge all your stuff really, really quickly. My iPhone 10 is just charged in like, I don't know, 15 minutes. It's insane how quick this is. But obviously, right, it's got four ports. So this covers my AirPods, my Apple Watch, and my iPhone all at the same time with a spare one just for maybe my wife's phone. But it's really good. It's my second one I bought now because the first one's been so reliable. £7.98 on Amazon.
£7.98?
Honestly, and they're brilliant.
That's unreal.
Well, yeah, considering it's a fast charger and it's got multiple plug heads. So it's got the UK plug, you've got a French plug, and you've got the American one on there. And the American one. They're really, really simple. Amazon next day delivery, £7.98. Honestly, this is brilliant. And yeah, I've got two of them now, and I'll probably buy a third one as well.
Yeah, no, I'm just buying two. Just fill for me, will you?
What's really funny is the box comes, it's a really, really tiny box when it comes, and you open it, and it's not packaged any very nicely at all. It's just in a brown box. But I tell you now, having used one for now probably, I don't know, 4 weeks, I just find it so quick to charge in. I think just, you know, what can I say? £7, not yet. You can't go wrong. And I've also bought a new projector today, ready for the World Cup. It was £140. I haven't got a link for it, but I'll probably link to it next week and tell you how good it is.
But you've got to use it. You can't have a cool thing you haven't used yet.
No. I'll talk more about it next week. But what's quite exciting is it's got USB ports at the back that you can put films on those and run it straight into the projector. So you don't need to hook up a laptop or anything to it. It's actually going to run straight from those, which I've never heard of before. So that's why I bought it. So you've got to go. But I'll talk more about it next week.
Cool. Well done, mate. Good pick. My cool thing is fairly simple. I did a pick last night, which is a paper aeroplane that you fly around, remote control aircraft, and you just tilt your phone or your iPad to get it to fly around these little peaks. And the clouds are solid, so don't fly into them. But it's really therapeutic. There's little things you can do as well. There's little games you can play, but it's just flying around really cool. And the other one that I've got that I find is really therapeutic is moon surfing. It's a thing from Christian Schellmann. And basically, you've got a surfboard on the moon and you get these little pods that are like... who's got the air conditioning going? Hello?
It's not me.
Someone mute. Patrice? There we go. That's Patrice then. You've got these little pods that are oxygen filled. And you've got to navigate your way across the moon, going to these oxygen-filled pods to replenish everything. So you can't fly for too long. But when you're flying around, you can lift your finger off the hoverboard and that'll get you airtime so that you can fly further. And if you time it right, you can fly for miles because of the reduced G. It's brilliant. Moonsurfing from Christian Schnellman. It's free, and it's just addictive. It's just so relaxing. Brilliant game.
Downloading as we speak.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that. Downloading. Report back next week. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
All over the interwebs at DOCROCK and at solid.fm.
Is the sun up there or is that your TV?
That's the sun up.
Oh, man.
Yay.
Welcome to the day, buddy. Jeff, where are you, pal?
I'm over at macobserver.com and on Daily Observations and Apple Context Machine podcasts and Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut. So I'm easy to find.
Excellent, mate. Doc is going to show us the sun. Oh, he's going to show us the view from his... Oh, you bastard. You absolute bastard. There's the beach. Oh, man.
No, let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Oh,
lovely.
What do you want? That's nice. Oh, that's yeah. No, he's got... He hasn't got a beach. He's got a dock in the way. I don't feel too bad. Dock, looking at a dock.
Hey.
Hey, I can do beach. The beach is over there.
Yeah, I see beach.
Yeah, beach is not that far away.
Trees. Yeah.
But there's... I don't know why Bob Beach got that name, but that, the beach is right there. Like, I can take the winds in there from here.
But you do overlook a dock, don't you, Doc?
Yeah, it's a harbor.
There's a dock.
Yeah. Oh. It's a dock.
Dock. Patrice, where are you, man?
Every week here on the Mac Show, and as always, everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for making the effort to wake up for us, even though you didn't wake up for your colleagues. Much appreciated. And James, where are you, pal?
Yes, you can get me on at James Rickards. That's James, RICKARDS. And I've got a website called iDiscover.tv where you can learn about emotion, and there's some great news coming out of there very soon. So,
and isn't there an offer code? Field.
Yeah, if you call BTN Rocks, you get £20 off the training, which is great. I'm doing some final cut stuff training soon, so lots of exciting stuff to share soon.
Excellent. Brilliant. Hello, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech on Twitter as well as. And we'll be back again next week as normal. Big show on Thursday night and the Mac show on Friday. Have a great weekend. Really enjoy the weather that we're not going to get. It's going to thunder like Billy-O tomorrow, apparently. But at least it might be cooler on Sunday. See you next week. Thanks for listening.